Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. And Chris, congratulations on your 400th win.
Thanks, Jerry. It was really a great way to start the season, and awesome to see so many alums and parents there on Saturday.
So I'm sure you read this. Maybe you didn't read this. I'm being presumptuous that you read this, but did you see the similarities between your career arc, Courtney Banghart's and Bill Tierney's arriving here? So your first year, you were 3-9, 1-5 in the Ivy League. Courtney's first year, she was 7-23. Bill was 2-13. Second year, you were 500. Courtney was 500. Bill was 6-8, so right around 500. Your third year, well, Courtney's third year NCAA tournament, Bill's third year NCAA tournament, first time ever in the history of the program. Your third year NCAA tournament, which was actually the second for Princeton that had won before you got here, and made it to the semifinals. So very major rebuilding jobs that sort of took 3 years each. And I find that to be fairly fascinating that the first year it's you're trying to get things together. The second year you figured it out a bit. And the third year you were ready to go.
Yeah. And, you know, I was fortunate when I came in, I had a great class of freshmen, the class of 1990. And so those kids were juniors and they were with me the whole way. I didn't recruit them. I inherited them. But they were really talented and they really helped in that turnaround too.
So another thing I figured out after the game is that, so you're the second women's coach in Division I to get to 400 wins. There's only been one men's coach who's ever gotten to 400 wins, which is John Donowski. Interestingly, if it all plays out as it could, Bill Tierney could get to 400 wins here in the game against Princeton.
Wow.
But for right now, that would be fairly interesting if he came here with 399. John Donowski from Hofstra and then Duke got to 400 earlier this year, and you're the only three, you, Cindy Timchill, and John Donowski. But you're the only one who's done it at one school. They moved around a bit. And, I've asked Pete Carril this question, and I don't actually know the answer in your case, but did you ever consider leaving here, going to a different school, have opportunities to go to different schools?
I think once in my career, I seriously considered leaving and looking at another opportunity. But I think when it all came down to it, I knew that Princeton was a school for me and where I wanted to be, and close to family, and I said it at the celebration after the game, like, I feel like my teams here are my second family. My colleagues here are my second family. And I've just always known that Princeton is the place for me. So I haven't really been interested in a lot of jobs that have become open. I mean, I love this place. And, it's been a fantastic place to spend my career.
So not to dwell on your milestone, but 400 is big. And, 399 is one less than 400. So, it's sort of arbitrary, the number. But again, congratulations, and I think that it was a lot of fun, that game, and the kids with the T-shirts and the picture with them, with you, with all their backs with the shirts on it, and all the alums. Lost a bit, and unfortunately lost a bit, was that Elizabeth George had her own milestone of her 100th career point. She now has 82 goals and 18 assists. She had 2 goals, 2 assists. She, after the game, seemed pretty excited for you and said all the right things. But that's a tremendous accomplishment to get to 100 points.
Absolutely. And she and I talked about it when we met the other day. We're like, we'll always have that day to share in common. And, Georgie's had a great career for us. And I think this is going to be her best year yet. She's going to score a lot. Certainly her 100th isn't going to be her last point. And she's such a potent offensive weapon for us and is doing really well on the draw controls and is really developing into an awesome captain and leader for the team.
If you want to go back to the way the Temple game went with Elizabeth George, the 2 goals, 2 assists, it was probably a good sign that she wasn't the dominant scorer in the game, that you got scoring from a lot of people, you weren't relying on one person. It was also probably a good sign that Kyla Sears only had one. Tess Diorcy stepped up and had a career high of 6. Catherine Hallett had 4, so a lot of balanced scoring. What did you see offensively from your team? And the other thing, not to cut you off, but the other thing is you really put the game away early.
We did. We had a great first half. We got out to a big lead early. And you hope that you're going to be able to sustain that in the second half. And you got to give Temple credit because, they came back and they started winning draw controls and making some plays, especially down the stretch. But, you know, I thought we saw a lot of good things on offense, especially in the transition game. And, you know, Testa Orsi, she's just so incredibly dynamic and has such a quick first step. I think she's going to give defenders nightmares this year. Kyla, it was a quieter day for Kyla. She had been injured and sick a bit of preseason, and so she had a great practice yesterday. I think she's just really getting back to form. So it was fantastic to see Tess and Hallett really step up. I mean, Hallett is just lightning fast, and you could see that on the field.
I mean, I've asked Courtney this. Do you at some point rely too much on one score, in her case, Bella Allery, and her contention is no. You don't if everybody else is playing a team game to get her those points. You do if everybody's just sort of standing around and letting one person score. Now, in your team's case, you don't. I think in basketball, you maybe can get away with that more than in lacrosse. So I think it's important that you have multiple scores.
Oh, absolutely. If you're really centered on one kid, it's much easier to take a kid out of a game in a lacrosse game, I think. You know, you get a good face guard on, or you get a really early double team. There are strategies that you can employ, and I think that's one of the best things about our offense. We are multi-dimensional, and we do have plenty of kids who are capable of putting the ball in the net if teams choose to focus on one or the other.
And then defensively, you know, the final score is 16-7, so 7's a good number. Sam Fish was sharp. You know, she stole some from them.
She did. I mean, she picked their pocket numerous times, including on a man-up opportunity for Temple right in front of the cage. I thought she was phenomenal. I mean, a couple went in late in the game, but she really backboned that defense incredibly well. And the D as a whole, I was incredibly impressed with that unit. Really neutralized Temple's two top attackers with Alex Argo and Noni Anderson, and causing so many turnovers. I think we caused 18 turnovers in that game, and we talked about that. Like, last year, we had caused fewer than 8 turnovers a game on average, and we were way down in the NCAA rankings in that stat. And so we've been consciously trying to take some more smart risks defensively, and you saw some of those interceptions and you know, stick checks and things like that, and the good hustle in the ride. I thought the defense as a unit really, really executed the game plan well.
Yeah, there were a couple of times where you turned it over and then immediately turned them over to get it back. That happened maybe like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, it was a little bit back and forth. And
but that's good, because nobody's hanging their head that you turned it over.
Yeah, exactly, because you're getting that ball back. I think for us as a team, we have to learn, especially after we get the ball back from them. Sometimes we got the ball back from them, and then we just turned it over, just looking for something too quickly. I think for our offense in general, you'll see a lot better movement from us. We've been working on that this week against a zone defense. Temple had a zone defense employed for a lot of that game, and they would switch in and out of the zone and the man, and I think it took us a little while to adjust to that, but we've been working on that this week, and so I think you'll see us be a lot more dynamic as a group as we move forward.
You know what my favorite thing to watch in that game was?
What's that?
Noni with the ball running down the field.
Yeah, and did you see she scored a goal?
She ripped that one.
And did you see it was with her right hand?
It was with her right
hand,
yes. And
she's a lefty,
and she
right?
ripped that shot. It
she
wasn't
ripped
like...
that shot, exactly. She has the potential to do that, you know, every game. And so we've really given her the green light in transition to take it and either, you know, make the assist or go for the goal. She's going to be such an asset to us with that speed coming out of the defensive end. And so she's been getting more and more practice in man-up situations, in transition, being the ball carrier, getting her feeds down well. But the fact that she ripped that with her right hand, we were all like, wow, that was a rocket with her right. I can't tell you that's from practice. but she sure did rise to that occasion.
And it's also interesting that when you have three sophomores who were starters as freshmen, and now you have all this experience that you have for sophomores, you tend to forget that they're just sophomores because they have so much experience. But you're three sophomores all, they're used to it all. They have enough minutes under their belt that they've taken a big step forward. And
yeah, absolutely. They're no longer rookies. I mean, Olivia Pugh has been one of our most consistent and exciting defenders so far this season. And Mary Murphy, who was injured basically the entire year up until the start of preseason. She's getting her legs under and getting back into it, but it's playing well. And, you know, Marge Donovan is great for us, too, on defense. So it's a nice unit that we have back there.
So looking ahead, Virginia is the next challenge. First of all, it's your first road trip. So what goes into playing on the road that you don't have to worry about when you play at home? Obviously, you have to travel there, but like...
Yeah, it's nice to have the team all together and to just be on the bus for the first time in season together and relax with each other and, you know, watch a movie together, have some fun at dinner together. You get to do more team bonding stuff than you would for a home game, which is nice. Obviously, there's a lot of details to take care of for the coaching staff leading up to departure time. But, you know, once you get on the bus, it's just really enjoying the team. And as coaches, we'll be watching some film and doing things like that on the bus. But, you know, it's fun to go play someplace else.
So, I mean, I've always had the feeling that, you know, if you're playing basketball and you're going to play, even if you're playing at Jadwin Gym versus playing at, say the Palestra, the actual background shooting is so much different. And when you practice in that facility the whole time, you have a big advantage. And that's, you know, multiply that out. If you go play at a place where, you know, we're going to, like, especially playing in the Big Ten, and we're going to get 15,000 for our game, and then you're going to get 17 of your fans at your game. It's a completely different thing, home and away. But I've always felt like in lacrosse, where the fields are basically similar, mm-hmm. so it's not like the actual venue itself is that different. And the crowds, I mean, you're going to get 80% of the people at the game are going to be the same people, maybe not 80, but a large percentage of the people for both teams are going to be the same regardless of where you play it. I've always sort of felt like there's an advantage playing on the road because you get away from campus, you get away from things, and you're a lot more focused. And I've always sort of felt like that's something that was a factor for teams where it was easier to go on the road.
I don't know that I totally agree with that. We'd have to take a look at our record. I mean, we've had plenty of
years. Well, your record is skewed because your team's been so much better than a lot of the teams that you've been playing through the years, it wouldn't have mattered if you played home or away. But so that's not going to tell you much. But that's just been my theory.
Potentially. I think our kids love playing at home. I mean, Sherrod Field, class of 1952 stadium, it's just a tremendous environment and place to play. And we so feel so comfortable there. Going on the road to Virginia, I mean, they're on a grass field. It's supposed to pour rain all day and be cold
factor.
On Saturday. So that's going to be a big factor, playing on a wet and muddy grass fields. So I think that's something that we'll have to adjust to. It's not like we really have a grass field to practice on here, but it's nice and short. So, you know, the turf should get us ready for that. And I think with those weather conditions, it's really just about, you know, trying to execute as well as you can and control the ball as well as you can. And who's going to be toughest in tough conditions potentially to play.
So Julie Myers, the head coach at Virginia, she has 311 wins. They are 2-0 in the year with wins over Navy and Elon going into tonight, where they play Richmond, a game pushed back from yesterday, presumably because of the weather. Quick turnaround, but then they don't have to travel, which, according to me, is a disadvantage to them. But so she has 311 wins all at Virginia, mm-hmm. and you guys go way back.
We do.
You've played each other in NCAA championship games. You've won three of them. She's won one. You've been to 7 finals. She's been to 6 finals. So both of you are way up there in the history of women's lacrosse coaching. What is that like when you go up against somebody that you've gone up against so many times, not in the league, but outside of the league, but just somebody whose program is in many ways mirrored your own?
Yeah, I think Julie and I just have a nice friendship as coaching colleagues and a really healthy respect for each other. I know her teams are going to be well prepared and come ready to play, and she's going to have some potential tricks up her sleeve should she need them. And the rivalry of Princeton versus Virginia is pretty storied in the lacrosse world.
And pretty even,
exactly.
It's 1918 Virginia.
1918 Virginia. All right, it's time to tie that up, I guess.
It's 14-14 in the regular season.
There you go. And we've played each other multiple times in NCAAs, right? I mean, we've lost a national championship to them. We've won a national championship, over them, and we've played multiple times in the semifinals. So, you know, both programs have historically been really strong, and I'm sure it's going to be a highly competitive game.
Did you hear from a lot of your coaching peers after you got to 400?
I did. I got a ton of texts and emails, including from Julie, which was really nice. And, you know, and social media, you know, a lot of posts on social media. So that was fun.
All 311 of hers are at Virginia. So, you know, again, it's a rarity. So one other thing about the rivalry with Virginia that I noticed is the last 2 years and five of the last six, both teams have been in double figures. If you go back all the way to the beginning of the rivalry before that, it had only happened four other times. So you're talking about 37 meetings. So 27 of the first 31, one team or both did not reach double figures. And two of the times that they did were 1994, where twice Princeton beat Virginia in overtime, once in the regular season in high-scoring games, once in the regular season and once in the NCAA semifinals. And that was your first championship in 1994. Is that a function of the rule changes, or is that a function of how you guys have decided to play differently, or is it just coincidence?
I think some games, I think the rule changes definitely play a part in it. I mean, with the shot clock now, you know, games usually are not low-scoring affairs. And with the restraining line now in play, I think you put both of those, restraining line and shot clock. Back in the day, you could pack it in and put 11 players back around the arc, and it was hard to find a lot of room. So having lower scores was more typical. But now with the restraining line and the shot clock, the scores are generally, you know, are generally higher. I don't know that it's by design, except that I think both teams are fast and will break. You know, Virginia love the draw break against us, but the draw rules have changed. So, you know, there are a lot of rules that might impact that.
And this is the start of a pretty serious run here for you guys. Your next, five of your next seven games are against teams currently ranked in the top 11. And then the other two are Ivy League games. So you got a lot coming up.
Who did that schedule, Jerry?
It's
awesome. It is the kind of schedule we want, and it's grueling. You know, my college coach, Carol Kleinfelder, always believed that to be the best, you gotta play the best and beat the best. And, you know, I've taken that philosophy here. And, you know, this year we always have a strong schedule, but this year it's bumped up even more. And so many of those top games are happening early in the season. So, you know, we've got to be ready to play.
So it's Princeton at Virginia, 1 o'clock start?
Yes.
So it's a 1 o'clock start in Charlottesville. If you're in the area, go check that game out. If you want to see Princeton at home, you can see them next Wednesday, I believe 5 o'clock against Penn State on Sherrod Field. This is why we're doing them on Thursdays, because you have all these Wednesday games. So we'll be back a week from today, and we can talk about those two games, and then look ahead to your Ivy opener, which would then be a week from Saturday against Columbia, second game of a doubleheader where the men play Johns Hopkins, and then you guys play Columbia. Men are first, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So then the women, that
3
one.
O'clock.
So we got a lot to talk about in next week's episode, and we will be here every Thursday during the Princeton women's lacrosse season. So once again, congratulations on your 400 wins. Congratulations to Elizabeth George on 100 career points. Thanks for being with us, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Jerry.
For Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's lacrosse.